show. He's going to have a chat about the champion sires titles with a wrap up of the season yesterday. And we might get to chat about Bo Ross and Rock Artist. And a special guest this morning is the owner breeder of Sunrise Ruby, who won at Randwick yesterday. We'll just see if Joe's there again. You there, Joe?
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. We were worried there. It sounded like you were in a spaceship somewhere, but you've landed now.
I think it might have been at your end, actually. I still was on the line, but it went blank from Melbourne. I hope everything's all right there. But, hey, happy birthday to all the horses today. 1st of August, they all turn a year older.
Yep, they certainly do. So carrot cakes all round.
Yes, absolutely, and plenty of celebrations for the stallion ranks, of course, with the champion sires titles being decided for the 2020-21 season. And hats off to Written Tycoon, Dan, who has taken his first Australian champion sire title, and he's the first Victorian stallion in 43 years to do so.
And his numbers are quite staggering, aren't they? Runners, winners, and prize money of over $17
million. Yeah. He had 379 runners, Dan, for 193 winners, and as you say, just over $17 million in prize money. And Yarraman Park by him, Invincible, set a new Australian benchmark, of course, for winners for the season. With his 209 eclipsing what was his previous record set in 2019 of 184 winners.
And also an interesting one is always the first season size, Joe. And we've got some interesting stallions at the top of the list with Extreme Choice, who only had a limited number of runners, and Capitalist, whose runners to winners is about the one in three.
Yeah, what a season it's been for the Newgate Farm stud trio, Extreme Choice and Capitalist, of course, and Flying Artie. But Extreme Choice came out on top in the end. 15 runners for four winners individual and eight wins in total, and prize money of just over $3.3 million. Capitalist finishing second behind him with 61 runners, 20 winners, and, of course, prize money of just over $3.2 million. And Flying Ardia, stellar season for him as well. Just over $2 million in prize money his stock earned. And finishing fourth on the first season sires list, Dan, was Arrowfield Shalar, a real stallion of the future as well.
Yeah, and Deep Field in the third season sires. Headwater, the second season sires. Now, that is a remarkable record, 103 runners, 46 winners, Joe.
Yeah, it's very exciting times, isn't it, for the Australian stallion ranks. So we've got a lot of horses that have been retired to stud, and they're going on now to produce and assert themselves. But Written Tycoon deserves all the accolades, doesn't he? Of course, he was the subject of a sale this year. He'll now stand this upcoming season at Yulong in Victoria. He's 19 years old, or 20 now, so a veteran stallion of the ranks, but in his twilight years, doing his best.
Yeah, you're not wrong there, doing his best indeed. He's now old enough to vote and to drive. So that's the wrap-up of the stallions for the standings of 2021. Who do you have as your guest this morning on Talking Horses?
Well, it was a great result yesterday in Sydney for Mitch Beer and his loyal connections with a filly winning the highway there. And the breeder and owner of Sunrise Ruby is our guest this morning, Susan Zeitz. Good morning, Susan. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Joe. How are you?
You there, Joe? We just might have lost Joe. You there, Joe?
I'm here, yes.
Yeah, it dropped out again. It might have been our end, I'm not sure, but we're just making sure you're right.
No, I'm right, but I'm not hearing Susan at the moment. I'm here.
No connection there. No. Well, Susan, we'll see if we can get the ball rolling while that line gets fixed there. Congratulations yesterday with Sunrise Ruby. It would have been a massive thrill.
Oh, it was. We were just over the moon. It was just such a terrific result for Mitch, the team, for the people who've been in the horse since day one. It was just great.
And not being there, do you feel far removed? Or sometimes when you're actually watching on TV, you can be maybe not as close to the action, but you don't miss anything.
Well, I'm one of those people who thinks if I'm on track, I jinx it, so I don't mind not being there. the rest of the team were very disappointed not to be there.
Mitch Beer, being involved with Mitch, he's a terrific guy, comes up with some great innovations, and he's got some great opportunities for his owners, where he's placed, obviously, to go either to Sydney or to Melbourne, yes. And he's been regularly making the trip to Sydney.
Yes, and look, with all the restrictions that have been on, it's such a challenge for him and his team to manage that bubble and still keep going. My hat's off to them. I think they've done a terrific job over the last sort of 12 or 18 months. It's been extremely challenging, as it has been for everybody, but I think he's managed it with good humour all the way through.
And I think our line's been fixed, so Joe might be back now.
Yes, Dan, got you. Good morning, Susan. Congratulations. What a great thrill.
Thanks, Joe. Yes, we're all just staggered, really. It was amazing.
So you bred this horse as well as own it. Take us through how that all came about.
Well, I bought Scarletta, the dam, after Black Caviar had won her first five races. Did the old, I want one of those. Not planning to get one, but always dreaming. And the mares had a bit of bad luck with the first few foals, either injuring or one that was quite promising got bitten by a snake. This is really the first filly to get to the races, and it was one of those things, looking at the cross, Casino Prince, feel too hard, and I decided to give it a go, and it's just paid off. It's been great.
Yeah. And was the plan to put the horse through the sales that didn't reach the reserve?
No, she actually injured her eye as a weanling and ended up with a fungal infection. Brody at Stockwell had to sort of rig a drip of stuff, human-grade antifungal treatment into her eye for about 6 weeks. And she ended up with a blue haze in her eye. It doesn't affect the sight at all, but it was going to be an anti for the sale, so I decided to keep her.
Ah, well, that's paid off, that decision. Probably
yes.
At the time you were cursing the eye problem, but it's probably...
Indeed. Yes, very much so.
Yeah. Have you bred many horses before?
Look, I've been breeding for about 12 years now, so it's really been the last 4 or 5 that I've started to see some results start, you know, coming through. So I've got Sunrise Ruby's half-sister, Scarlet Magnolia. She severed a tendon in pre-training before she got to the track, so I've kept her as a brood mare, and she, actually one of her fillies is about to start with Mitch. So bit by bit.
Yeah, well, yesterday would have been such a great thrill for you to taste victory on one of the biggest stages in Australia.
Oh, it was. You dream of winning a city race. I mean, and so many of us never get there. We're small breeders, and it was just such a thrill. And, yeah, I'm still, you know, every time I hit the replay button, I can't quite believe that she still wins.
Yeah. Well, it was an impressive win. What is Mitch saying about her future?
We'll bring her home and see how she goes. She's just done such an incredible job. We still are shaking our heads in disbelief that she's 4 wins out of 5 and the one she lost when she pulled up sore. So I think we'll just get her home. She's still a 3-year-old. I heard Glenn Boss in the post interview yesterday say that she's still got some filling out in her frame to do. So we'll just take it quietly. We've taken it quietly to this point. We don't have to rush with her. And the ownership group is really it's a bunch of friends, and we're just having a ball.
Yeah. And the relationship with Mitch, how did that all come about?
That came about when he was at the Magic Millions in the mid-year sale and bought her half-sister, who was Esprit Joy, the Belle Esprit, the first filly out of the mare. And she's the one who placed in the city and then got bitten by a snake and died before her second prep. So... Mitch and I kind of established a friendship through that, and it's just kept going since then.
Yeah. He's a character, Mitch, isn't he? He does a great job there at Albury.
Oh, he does. He's a wonderful friend, but the number of conversations I have with him about, we'll just do what's best for the horse. If she needs time, we take the time. If she needs a break, she takes a break. You know, he never pushes the horse. It's always the horse first, and it fits with my ethos with my horses, and I think it's great to see him getting the rewards for taking that stance.
Yeah. And so you've been at the Breeding Caper for 12 years. So there'd be, I'm sure, a number of people listening in this morning that seek great inspiration from your story, because they the bread and butter breeders are what makes racing go round.
It is, yeah. And all I can say is persevere. I mean, we all have bad luck stories, and all of our stories are littered with often more bad luck than good. So perseverance is the name of the game. And really just trying to breed smart, because I can't compete with the big studs, and I'm sure many who are listening can't. And so you're just trying to do the best you can with what you've got, and pick the best bloodlines. And my whole approach is to try and breed horses that can win a race. And, if it's a picnic race, I'll take it and be happy. Yesterday was just fabulous.
Yeah. Have you got any other horses at home that we might see come through the ranks and emulate the feats of Sunrise Ruby?
That's the full brother of Scarlet Prince. He has had two. He's with Mitch. I sold him but kept a small share. And he's out having a break at the moment, but he's had two starts for a second and a third, and he looks like he might have a bit of ability. How much, we don't know yet, but he's certainly on the way. And the Scarlet Magnolia's daughter's about to start. She's a bit hot, but we'll see how she goes. But she's Magnolia Bell, and she's showing that she's got a bit of speed as well.
Fantastic, Susan. Well, thanks for sharing your story on the program this morning. Congratulations once again on your achievement to breed and own a Randwick winner yesterday, Sunrise Ruby, and we wish you all the best of luck and success ongoing with her heading towards the spring.
Thanks very much, Joe. Appreciate it.
They're the great stories of racing and breeding, aren't they, Dan? The little guys getting a win on the big stage.
Yeah, and with what looks a pretty promising horse, where the filly, now Mia, has ticked the dry track box as well, because she's been very impressive on the heavy track. So going forward, she's very exciting. So well done to Susan and getting that Randwick winner yesterday. Perhaps across Australia, we talked with Mick Ken Junior before about I'm Thunderstruck, certainly from the Moonee Valley perspective, the most exciting horse to perhaps come out of that meeting. But if you looked Australia-wide, the best performance, I would say, the highest-ranked performance, I reckon would have to be Bo Rossi yesterday in the Lightning in Adelaide.
Yeah, it was a terrific performance from Bo Rossi, wasn't it? From the Clarkin team, he was absolute dynamite, wasn't he, in the Lightning Stakes yesterday. The backstory of this horse, well, he was consigned by Three Bridges Thoroughbreds at the 2019 Magic Millions Adelaide yearling sale and was purchased for $80,000 by Will Clarkin and David Jolly. And, of course, he's a son of Three Bridges' short-lived stallion Unencumbered, who they lost about 3 years ago, and is the best of two winners from as many to race out of a Schwarzier mare by the name of My Schwarzier.
Yeah, and the future going forward for this fellow, I think we might be talking about him a little more often and in some bigger races.
Yeah, no question about that. He's racking up a terrific record, isn't he? So winning the listed feature in Adelaide yesterday, Bo Rossi. Look forward to seeing what he can continue to go on and do. And a number of highlights that you touched on, one of them yesterday at Moonee Valley, came up, I thought, early in the day in the two-year-old race over 1,000 metres. So the opener there won by the Casey and Ken Keys trained gelding Rock Artist, a son of Wanjanar. He was a pretty cheap buy, this horse. They paid $35,000 for him at the English Classic Sales, and he's gone on to amass just over $90,000 in prize money so far. And they're talking stakes races with him now. Potential tilt at something like the Vain Stakes at Caulfield on August 14, and then on to the listed Mackenzie Stakes back at the Valley.
Yeah, well, he's gelded and he's had two runs as a gelding for two wins. They're both very similar from outside gates. Gee, he can take a bit of riding in the early part of the race, but he looks like he doesn't like other horses getting in front of him. He just, he's got a great will to win.
Yeah, and a nice story too from my colleague in the industry and great friend, Dan Caroline Searcy, because her and her partner Duncan Ramage picked this horse up out of the Fairhill Farm draft at the Inglis Weanling sale for just $8,000. And I remember seeing this horse through the classic sales with Caroline when she sold him for $35,000. She was absolutely thrilled he found such a good home. So a great story all round for Rock Artist, who does look a genuine talent of the future.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, and can't Ken and Casey come up with a pretty good horse? They always seem to have those one or two metropolitan class horses, and it just shows, they highlight that you don't have to pay a lot of money to get some good metropolitan horses.
Yeah, and this is the type of story we see often, don't we, at this time of the year, towards the end of the racing season. It's an opportunity for some of the lesser light trainers and people without the huge big bank balances to produce spring horses taste victory in metropolitan races, which is great to see. But you're right, the Keys family are very good judges of horse flesh and often don't pay a lot of money to find a winner.
Yeah, it's the incentive for someone, a pauper like me, to have a crack. It makes me feel like I've got a chance. Maybe you too, although you might have a bigger bank than me. You've probably done better in life than I have. But anyway, it gives us all a bit of incentive that it's achievable, doesn't it?
Dan, I have a habit of finding the really slow ones because I seem to spend any of my money on the off-the-track retired race horses, Dan. That take a lot of time and cost a fortune to feed. They don't race with prize money.
No, you got no chance of getting any money back. Just a lot of love and satisfaction.
Exactly. Oh, dear. Anyway, it's all about the love of the horse, isn't it?
Absolutely it is, and it's always great to highlight that. Joe, once again, fantastic talking with you, talking horses this morning. Warren's had a little bit of a break, Warren Huntley, but he will be back next week to have a chat with you.
I look forward to it, Dan. You take care.